Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates, and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Ain't colliding, just ain't jiving. I don't know.
What General Joe?
Well, I don't know Latin.
What General Joe?
Ain't high having.
What General Joe?
I ain't fooling, I need schooling. I don't know.
January 6th was a bridge too far for me, and I think everyone knows that. I was one of the few Democrats that went over and worked with him, and we always got along great. We were very friendly, we just had disagreements on some things, but you can do that. When the people speak and they make their choice and the election's over, you better pray everything you have that the president will be successful. This is about our country, and I want him to succeed, and I have said this to him. I'll do whatever I can to help in any way humanly possible.
When you're listening to Senator Joe Manchin, who is about done being a senator, talk about wanting Donald Trump to be successful, there's a patriotic element to what he's saying right there. And I was just saying this a little bit earlier in the show. The idea that we need to keep pushing and identifying and pointing to people who are never Trump. Donald Trump is the president. He won. Scoreboard. He's there. He's back. He is going to do the things that he said he is going to do. He's going to get his confirmations through, probably, maybe all, if not most of them. And he's going to be able to affect the outcome of the next 4 years in a way that could impact our country for generations. That is the consequence of the last election. And a lot of that has to do with how dismal and really absent Joe Biden was from the entire process. Listen to another senator, Fetterman. Gosh, this guy. Listen to him talk about Donald
Trump. And after you survived an assassination, you literally were shot in your head. Yeah. and had the presence of mind to respond, you know, fight, fight, fight. I mean, that's a political talent. It's undeniable. And also, I never believed that it was about fascism. And for me, that made it difficult for
Kamala Harris said that he was a fascist.
Yeah, well, it's like that's her prerogative. I mean, but It's not a word that I would use, because you put a lot of Democrats, especially in my state, that I know and I happen to love people that are going to vote for Trump, and they are not fascists. And also fascism, that's not a word that regular people, you know, use. That, you know, I think people are going to decide who is the candidate that's going to protect and project, you know, my version of the American way of life. And that's what happened.
What you know, Joe?
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Joe Concha, author of The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, which is coming out in April with a great cover, I might add. Joe, welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To you.
Thank you. So just to describe the cover, Annie, and Merry Christmas to you as well, I could have gone with any picture, any photo of Trump. There's a billion to choose from, and I insist. At HarperCollins, my publisher, I said, we have to put the McDonald's shot on. It's got to be him waving at the drive-thru. That is the entire campaign right there.
Yeah, it is. And really, it's kind of emblematic of the way I feel like the country feels in response to Donald Trump. He's back. He's going to do his thing. We know that there are people who hate him, but there are so many people that are kind of in play. Maybe they very, very reluctantly voted for Kamala Harris. I think there are a lot of people who voted for her that weren't really so sad when Donald Trump won. And a lot of people who didn't vote for Donald Trump maybe didn't vote for the Democratic candidate either. I feel like all of these people are now in play coming in 2025 for Republicans, something even bigger than Donald Trump, to say, we've got a better way of doing things.
Yeah, and it's the coalition, Annie, that we saw that Trump established here, where he won a record number of black voters, for example. You got to go all the way back to 1972 to get that percentage of the black vote that he did. Latino voters, the rank and file union members, which used to be completely and totally in the back pocket of Democrats. Young voters, half of all voters aged 18 to 29. We're always told, well, if young people come out, then it's lights out for the Republican candidate. Well, no more. And John Fetterman, I'm so glad you played that clip, because I wasn't a big fan of Fetterman, you know, going into that Senate or during that Senate race. I thought he was kind of obnoxious. I thought he had no business taking office, because he just seemed, you know, he wasn't there, right? And he had to use closed captioning just to understand interviews. And there was just something about him that was real turnoff. I don't know what's happened to him. Maybe he's fully recovered. But
it
makes so much sense. It really is. I mean, and you have Jonathan Carl, who was doing that interview with Fetterman. You know, and he's written how many books now, Carl, on Donald Trump? Oh, that's right, 3 anti-Trump books. But he's the objective one, right?
Right.
You know, trying to goad Fetterman into criticizing Trump. And Fetterman was not having it. He understands. And I wonder if he's going to be like the next Joe Manchin, where suddenly he's the next maverick in the Democratic Party. Or does he even, like, I don't know if he jumps parties, but he may leave the Democratic Party, because he's the only one who's actually making some common sense arguments on that side of the aisle. And he doesn't care. He does not care what criticism he's going to get from his own people on that side, because he just doesn't care.
Yeah, it's so nice to see people who are autonomous and really, like, kind of confidently slash even arrogantly autonomous and independent, says what he thinks. It is probably the weirdest story arc of 2024 might be Fetterman, and that is saying something.
Yeah.
Joe Concha, tell us where we've been in 2024. You've written a book about Joe Biden. Everybody in the media now is like, oh my gosh, he's been absent for 4 years. Where's he been? That's unbelievable. So you've written the book on Joe Biden. You've written the book on the Democratic Party, and you've written a book on what comes next. Take us through this arc of time. There's a lot of journey involved in year or two of days here.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, well, first of all, have you played that clip of Chris Saliza, I don't know how you pronounce his name, formerly of CNN? He went on the air on Friday on whatever podcast he has from his kitchen, and he says, you know, I do want to apologize.
Yeah.
I wish I dug harder to find the real truth out about Joe Biden's cognitive condition. You don't have to dig, you moron. It was right there in front of us. Just watch a TV for 2 seconds or listen to him. Watch him shake hands with the air. Watch him tell stories about having conversations with, you know, deceased world leaders. Maybe he could remember his cabinet member names. Oh, no, couldn't do that either. Falling upstairs, Air Force One, falling on stage at the Air Force Academy, falling off bikes in Delaware. 40% of his time is in Delaware. And you had to you had to dig, you had to like talk to a source to confirm all of this. So to answer your question, yeah, when I first wrote Come On Man, and that was the truth about Joe Biden's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad presidency, I wrote that in 2021 and a little bit of 2022. And then I was saying that he had no business being president because I have eyes, ears, and basic sanity. And when I heard him during like the 2020 campaign saying, you know, you got to play the record player for your kids at night, you're like, what are you talking about, record player? And clearly COVID saved him during that election. And he's probably the luckiest guy on earth because he had no business even running for president. In 1988, he had to drop out of the race because he was seen to be a serial plagiarist. And that's usually the end of your political career. But, yeah. You know, Barack Obama needed like an older guy with some experience in foreign policy. So it was between Tim Kaine and Joe Biden. And Biden won that out because he was seen as more likable by union members, I guess. So he fails upwards to the vice presidency. Then COVID comes. And that's the only way he was going to beat Trump because it upended that election completely. And then we just witnessed, I mean, by far, the worst. If you're under 50 years old, if you're like Annie Fry and you're 32, 33, you just witnessed the worst presidency of your lifetime. And Nixon is the only person with a lower approval rating leaving office. And, you know, he resigned. Right. So it's horrible. I can't find one positive thing to say about this president. And Now these pardons he's doing on the way out the door just tells you he's not a good person, or he's being controlled by people and they're the ones issuing the pardons.
Oh, man. Joe Concha with us right now. You got 100. Do you have a 135 hard out? I just want to confirm.
Yeah. Oh, well, 235 in my world, but we can go to 236 or 7. That's fine.
Okay, I just want to make sure before I wrap and you've got extra time. Yeah. When you see Joe Biden doing what he's doing right now and the study that you've put into him, do you feel like he's making decisions, vengeful decisions now? I feel like it's kind of weird to be like he's making decisions now when he hasn't been for 4 years.
Yeah, if you read that Wall Street Journal report, which was just so revealing as far as 50 sources from inside Biden's world talking about how much they tried to conceal him and protect him from the public and from voters. But then you also read the fact that Biden had powerful people around him that just were making policy decisions on their own. And they wouldn't even check with him, right?
Wow.
And it was so, and it matters because, like, for instance, like one Admiral Smith from the Joint Chiefs tried to get Biden on the phone before the Afghanistan withdrawal to warn him that this, you can't do this, right? The U.S. has to handle security. You can't leave it in the hands of the Taliban. And sure enough, he, you know, ignored it. They couldn't even get him on the phone. The Admiral couldn't. And then we all saw what happened. So it matters because people died, right?
Right.
And it mattered with October 7th and inflation going through the roof, all these things. And here's a stat to end all stats. He has held 9 full cabinet meetings in the span of 4 years. 9.
That's outrageous.
That's it. He's held 1 this year. He's had 0 press conferences this year solo. Donald Trump had 35 his final year in office. So, yeah, this can't end soon enough, quite frankly. And I said when he dropped out of the race, I said this on your show, I said he has no business being president for the next 6 or 7 months. And now we see the result and what they're doing going out the door. He's going to end up at like 30% approval. And I got to meet those 30% sometime. Like,
yeah.
Bowling.
What are you doing?
Let's talk this out.
Where are you? What are you paying attention to?
Seriously.
You mentioned that media, that reporter who said I should have done a better job. It's really interesting, and you cover the media quite a lot. It's really interesting that should he have done his job, the Democrats would have had a much better shot at an actual nominee that was probably chosen by the Democratic Party at a much earlier time to formulate a much better campaign. And right now, it looks like nobody's watching the media and the lamestream, leftstream media anymore. People have tuned it out.
They have, because there are alternatives. I mean, I listen to your show even though I'm in Jersey, because you can do that. I love the Ruthless podcast, for example. I listen to Rogan sometimes. You know, obviously those interviews can go on for a long time, and I only have finite time, but it's always interesting when I do, or at least see the clips. And then obviously, you know, Fox News, everybody else is going down. They're losing, MSNBC is losing 50, 60, 70% of their viewers, depending on the show. CNN, same deal. We're gaining viewers still at Fox because, well, maybe, just maybe, we've been honest this whole time, and maybe we're trusted. And oh, by the way, we have likable people that are actually the same on the air as they are off. And you see, like, CNN trying to do The Five with that ridiculous Abby Phillips show that's on at, like, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they can barely draw, like, 350,000 viewers.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, don't. I see.
To
it's
your
written
point.
Up all the time in Mediaite, like, oh, this is, like, the most interesting show ever. No, it's Scott Jennings, like, basically taking somebody to the woodshed, and that's the only interesting thing about that show. Give him a show on CNN.
Amen.
Then maybe with Van Jones, like PTI on ESPN, like something like that. But they won't do that. They'll just continue to put Brian Stelter on 24 hours a day.
Oh, man. Jill Concha, you are one of those wonderful people from Fox News. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you, to your wonderful family. And we hope to talk to you many times in a very, very exciting 2025, which includes your new book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. It's available in April. Jill Concha, we appreciate you. Thank you for being with us today.
Merry Christmas, Annie. And yes, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
No. Okay, fine. I'll allow it. Thank you,
now,
Jill.
I have a machine gun. Ho, ho. Oh. All right, I gotta go.
Bye. Merry Bye. Christmas. Oh, man. Jill Concha, man, there is nobody who gets more words per minute.
No, he's great. If you get 10 minutes with him, it's like 20 minutes with somebody else.
Yeah. I wonder what it would, I wonder if we slowed it down, if it would sound like normal.
I wonder what it sounds like to somebody who listens to our podcast on double speed.
Ooh, I never thought about that. But the thing of it is that what impresses me so much about Joe is that he spits facts so fast that he's not just saying things to say things. Like, he does so much homework. He knows his stuff. And he's very artistic in the way that he presents it. He's one of my favorite guests that we have on. And I like it because he keeps me on my toes.
And I love that he's available to, like, you know, this is 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah. Wait, I know. Brad, on Friday, I told Brad, don't book any guests on Friday. I don't want to have those conversations. And today, he asked me today, he's like, do you want guests today? I was like, I basically said, try Tammy Bruce and Joe Concha or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the most fiery, broadly informed, like, they can talk about anything. And they're just very kind and pleasant people.
It's so easy to pull quotes from them, too.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
They're great because they give you so much material.
You know, when he's talking about that reporter who was saying all of that stuff about Joe Biden and where Joe Biden was and what he was, what he, like, how they covered it and how they should have covered it. This is Chris from CNN. Listen.
As a reporter, I have a confession to make. I should have pushed harder earlier for more information about Joe Biden's mental and physical well-being and any signs of decline. So let me explain.
Yeah, please. That's an interesting place to cut that down.
He chose not to explain.
Joe Biden
never mind.
Was president from 2020 to 2024. I worked at CNN through 2022. During that time, the early part when I was at CNN, 2020 to 2022, Republicans would regularly ping me and say, why don't you ask more questions to Joe Biden and how he's doing? He's 76, 77, 78-year-old man. And I would sort of brush them off, because what I would say is, well, there's no obvious evidence that he's declining. Yeah, he moves a little slower, he talks a little slower, but there's no evidence that he's declining. And the White House and the people around Joe Biden were absolutely adamant that suggesting anything, asking the question about whether he was in some physical, mental, or both decline was offensive.
Isn't it basic journalism when they're like, you can't ask about that, that you ask twice as much about that?
You should want to. That should be all, that's why you're there.
Yeah, when we don't talk about Bruno, you want to find out why we don't talk about Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is Bruno.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Probably. How would we know?
I don't know. We don't ask. This feels like Abbott and Costello. It felt like a bit.
This is a bit. I got news for you. You going to come? You coming over to Christmas morning?
You want to come?
My dad?
We come?
No, yeah. I don't know if I'm coming.
So yeah, Christmas morning is going to be weird because I am going to be at your parents' house.
Yeah, are they?
For Christmas morning, and yeah, they're going to be there. Just me and them, probably. just doing a little gift exchange. I pulled their name. So
what, in the family gift exchange?
Yeah,
I'm not in that.
Yeah, we didn't want to burden you. You got so many things going on, but
that's what it feels like.
We're gonna have a nice, you know, we're just gonna have some eggnog, maybe a little bourbon in there. Nice Christmas morning, a little warm Kentucky hug going down, and we're just gonna have a little family gift exchange.
Where's your wife during this?
She's at home, the kids.
It's like somebody's gotta watch them.
Yeah, we're not going to leave him alone at home. This is kind of a crazy question.
Where are your kids?
They're at home with my wife.
I hadn't established that yet when I asked about your wife.
Yeah, and they're not coming. Mm. They didn't. They're not part of the extension of the Fry family.
It's not the Fry family.
I know. But I don't know what else to call them.
That's what you call them. Well, you're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Christmas special that we will have for you starting tomorrow at 6 p.m. with an introduction to it and his own special thing, Mark Reardon. I'm really excited to tune in earlier than I would traditionally to the Christmas special, because Mark Reardon, starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow, is going to get us in the Christmas Eve spirit. I know he's really excited about it, so am I. So you're going to want to keep it right here on 97.1. I know that you are somebody who is like super into the news and super into what is taking place during this transition period, but at the same time, for Christmas, it's like you still want to be able to chill and be mellow. This Christmas, you don't have to shut everything else out. You put us on in the background. We're going to guide you through, and everybody who is around in your family is going to like it too. It's good for everybody. Speaking of the YouTube live chat poll, will mixed politics with mixed company be a holiday problem for you this year? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Ain't alivin', just ain't jivin'. I don't know.
What you know, Joe?
Well, I don't know.
This is the Annie Fry Show.